Well, I was reading the passage today, the passage from Judges, about three quarters of the way through, about the tenth scene. I heard someone go, ooh, when the story came to the part where Jael takes her hammer and takes the tent peg and goes up to Sisera lying under the rug in her tent and takes the peg and the hammer and drives it through his skull. I heard somebody go, ooh, nice and quiet like. Not exactly an appetizing story to hear before we have our fellowship lunch, is it? A tent peg through the head. This story today is an interesting one. It's not one that you hear frequently read or preached on in church. I sometimes wonder why. If you want gore, you don't have to look at TV or movies. Just turn to the Bible. 2 points in today's reading, 2 points in today's message. Firstly, God sometimes has a surprise in store for us. We should follow God's will and not expect the glory. That's point number one. And point number two is, if we try to run away from God's judgment, the result is often a splitting headache, at least metaphorically. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. It's a serious story. Sisera was a commanding general of the armies of the king of Canaan, King Jabin. He had been persecuting the people of Israel for over 20 years cruelly, with his 900 iron chariots, with his soldiers in mass, he would persecute the Israelites. Now, you have to remember, they had been handed over into the hand of King Jabin and General Sisera because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Seems to be a plague amongst the Israelites. They are constantly doing evil. God punishes them. They get good again. And then they do evil again, and God punishes them again. It's a continual cycle, isn't it? A cycle that we ourselves, I do believe, are familiar in our own lives. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, the Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And so the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan. And they were heavily, heavily persecuted. So I can understand why Barak was so afraid to go off to face Jabin and his army. I can understand why Barak was so afraid to go off and face General Sisera. I'd be afraid too if he had 900 chariots and a known number of soldiers. I'd be afraid too. And here Deborah calls him, the prophetess calls him and says to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go take a position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and Zebulun. I will draw Sisera out, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you at the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and troops, and I will give him into your hand. I can understand why he said, Deborah, if you go with me, I'll go do it. But if you won't go with me, I won't go. Here she's saying, speaking for God, go and defeat Sisera. Go take 10,000, essentially volunteers, from Naphtali and Zebulun. Take 10,000 soldiers. They don't have artillery. They don't have tanks, the ancient version of chariots. They don't have the equipment that Jabin's King Sisera has. Not even close. And here's Deborah, a prophetess, speaking for God, giving directions and orders to Barak to go and fight, and Sisera will be delivered into his hands. It must have been beyond comprehension, but he was willing. If the one who told him to go do it, the prophetess Deborah, if she was willing to go with him, he would go. If she wasn't willing to go, I'm sure he thought to himself, if she ain't going to go with me, then obviously she doesn't really believe this message she's preaching. But if she's willing to go, I'll go. So let's not be too hard on Barak. He was afraid, as quite frankly, you and I would probably be. A little bit disbelieving of Deborah and her message. Okay. She said, yes, I'll go. I will go. Nevertheless, there's always a but. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. The glory isn't going to be yours. God's going to give Sisera. Now, he's going to give Sisera's armies to you. You're going to go out, you're going to fight, you're going to kill his armies. It's going to be a rout. But the general himself will be given to the hand of a woman. Now, your first thought is, aha, Deborah's going to get some blood herself. Deborah's going to get a little bit of glory for herself here. And, you know, I sometimes wonder, was that what she was thinking? I guarantee you that's what Barak was thinking. But she's going to go with him. There's going to be victory here. God's going to hand Jabin's armies into his hands. That's good enough. So Barak summons Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh and 10,000 warriors. That's a lot of warriors, friends. That's a lot of warriors. 10,000 warriors went up behind him. And Deborah went up with him. She went into battle with him. When Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, he called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the troops that were with him to the Wadi Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up! For this is the day on which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. The Lord is indeed going out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 warriors following him, and the Lord threw Sisera and his chariots and all his army into a panic. Over in chapter 5, where this whole story is put into poetic form, it was a major storm that was whipped up. The Lord whipped up a storm and threw Sisera and his army into a panic and put them off their footing and gave Barak and the 10,000 Israelites a chance in this battle. Sisera got down. The army was so upset, Sisera got down out of his chariot and fled away on foot, running away while Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Hashareth HaGoyim. All the army of Sisera fell by the sword. No one was left. The entire army, all 900 chariots and all the troop, all the foot soldiers that were with them, the entire army fell that day. In a stunning victory, a victory that would have left all commentators on CNN speechless. Here's the great army of General Sisera, of King Jabin of Canaan, the army that was expected to win, losing disastrously. The commentators on CNN and Fox News would have been very shocked with this one, friends. But they would have been really shocked with what's happened next. The general ran away, as sometimes generals are off to do. He ran away on foot trying to get away, and he runs to the household of a friend of his king. And he runs up to her, and the woman, the wife of the house, looks out and sees him coming and says, hey, come in here. I'll hide you. I'll hide you under this rug here. Get under the rug. Get under the rug. And he says, he gets under there and he says, hey, I'm thirsty. Got any water? She says, sure, here's some milk. I bet it was warm milk, too. And he drank the warm milk, the milk out of the skin bag. And under the rug, he fell asleep. Having told her, if anyone comes, say there's nobody here. He, under the rug, having drunk the milk, fell asleep. And up crept jail with a mallet and a tent peg, puts it on his head, and drives it through his head into the ground. What a gruesome scene that is. Yes, indeed. God handed the armies of Sisera into the hand of Barak, just as Deborah said it would happen. God gave the Israelites the victory over Jabin, king of Canaan. But God gave the victory over Sisera himself, over the mastermind of the army. God gave that victory to a woman. And it wasn't Deborah the prophetess, it was Jael. Simple Jael of Heber the Kenite. What a vicious, frightening scene that is. Our first expectation was that Deborah would be the victor. In the end, it turned up to be Jael. It was surprise enough had Deborah been the one to kill Sisera. And frankly, not knowing the rest of the story, that's what you expect to find. But no, add surprise upon surprise, it's Jael who takes a tent peg and hammers it through his skull and into the ground. My friends, I have trouble stepping on roaches and crickets, listening to them pop. I'll never forget the time my dad, I know we're eating today, that's why I'm doing this. I know my dad, one time we were in the kitchen having dinner, and Mom opens the pantry door, and out runs a mouse. Mom, in one leap, lands on the chair. Ah! A mouse! And Dad, he didn't go and grab it by the tail and toss it out. No, he went on it, flat as a pancake. Lost my microphone. Flat as a pancake. Then he picks it up with his fingers all squishy and bloody and throws it outside into the backyard where Muskie grabs it and eats it. I'm really making y'all sick, aren't I? Enough's enough, she says. I get squeamish just thinking about stepping on bugs. And here's Jael with a tent peg and a hammer going and driving it through this general's head. Totally unexpected, my friends. Totally unexpected. And yet that's what happened. The first point is simple today. God sometimes has a surprise in store for us. God had a surprise in store for Sisera, didn't he? He thought he was safe, hiding out under this rug, falling asleep, having drunk some nice warm milk. His soldiers, his armies have been defeated. He thinks he's safe. And he, in his sleep, suddenly has the worst headache anybody ever had, as a peg is driven through it and into the ground. Yeah, God sometimes has a surprise in store. We should follow God's will and not expect the glory. Barak, when Deborah said, sorry, you're not going to get the glory, Barak, he could have said, I'm not going to go then. If I don't get the glory, I'm not going. No, he went. She was at his side as they went into battle. She went with him, and he went and conducted the battle knowing the glory would not be his, but it would be given into the hand of a woman. And surprise upon surprise, it wasn't Deborah, but Jael. That's point number one. Sometimes God has a surprise for us, and we are called to follow God's will for us and not expect the glory. Barak did that. Point two. If we try to run away from God's judgment, The result is often a splitting headache. Now, in Sisera's case, that's literally true. He died. God's judgment upon him, God's judgment upon King Jabin, God's judgment upon his armies. Now, remember, the Israelites had been handed over into his hands for punishment because they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But God's punishment for having punished the Israelites in the cruel ways that he did, in the vicious ways that he did for 20 years, was for his armies and him to be defeated, and for him to run away from the scene of the battle in disgrace, on foot, while his armies were totally wiped out. God's judgment sometimes is overwhelming. Now we, praise God, have faith in Jesus Christ that God's judgment will pass over us and we will enter glory. There is judgment on this earth, but God's eternal, lasting judgment for us fell on Christ on the cross. And we have salvation. And if only we will accept Him by faith and receive His grace into our lives, we have nothing to fear from that last judgment. But we will stand before God, the Father, at the throne, and He won't be able to see us for the glory of His Son and our Savior. So we have that blessing. Sisera didn't have that. He had God's judgment to face, and he tried to run away. And instead of getting killed in any old common way on the field with a sword through the stomach or through the heart or being dismembered in another gory way, he ran away and tried to hide, but God's judgment found him anyway. When we try to run from God's judgment and justice in our lives, if we try to get out of the predicaments that we get ourselves into through deceitful means, when we try to run away from God's judgment, we often get ourselves into a worse predicament. We often get ourselves into a worse situation. We have the freedom to say, I messed up. I screwed up, God. I made a mistake. I have sinned before you and before others. I am a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me. Forgive me my sins. I promise I will try to turn and do the right thing. I will repent. I will change my life, and I will go the way you have called me to go. Forgive me, Almighty God. And we can trust that in Jesus Christ we have forgiveness. But if we try to run from the guilt, if we try to run for the sin and claim that the sin really isn't a sin, if we try to run from the guilt and run from the sin and deny that we have disobeyed our Lord's will for us, we only make things worse. We only give ourselves splitting headaches. We ruin our relationships with others. We ruin our relationship with God. We ruin our walk if we try to deny that we have failed. Rather, we are called to say, I am guilty. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. Forgive me, Almighty God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today we have a story of great surprises, a story of God's will working itself out, a story of splitting headaches. May we all step out in faith, recognize that we are in need of God's grace, accept the forgiveness that He offers free of charge, turn and walk the way, the path that He has for us to walk, and avoid the jails with her mallets and tin pegs. My brothers and sisters, may we accept God's judgment and accept God's forgiveness and move on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.